Christ who sits on the throne, who's our mediator, King, we just sang about. Let's turn in God's Word to Exodus and chapter 18. We continue reading through the book of Exodus. Exodus 18, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 27. Exodus 18, and beginning in verse 1, these are the infallible words of our God. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and people such over them, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, they shall bring unto thee. But every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Those are God's words. In the first 12 verses, Jethro, that's Moses' father-in-law, comes unto Israel, to Moses, and hearing of the redemption that the Lord had brought upon Israel to redeem them out of slavery, out of Egypt, he rejoices, he gives praise to Jehovah. But how did he give praise? How did it come about that he praised the Lord? But not, is it not first through Moses evangelizing and testifying of what Jehovah did? And therefore, Jethro praised the Lord. Here again is the faith of a Gentile foreshadowing what the Lord would do in bringing many from the nations, Gentiles, to Himself. And then through verse 23, Jethro, by the grace of God, instructs Moses, who are godly rulers, and that they should be used so that Moses doesn't, as we say, burn out, become weary, wear away. And so godly rulers, verse 21, it tells us who they are. It's, of course, applicable to us in our day. Godly rulers, or rulers, verse 21, are those who fear God, men of truth, and who hate covetousness. So to verse 16, rulers, civil rulers, they are to make known the statutes of God and His laws. That's what civil rulers must be, as these are here, as Moses implements through these judges or rulers. Moses takes this counsel, he implements it within Israel. And just as that describes civil rulers, well then how much more should that be applied to church rulers or church leaders, elders? They should, of course, be those who fear the Lord and not man. A very important thing in our day, because many elders today fear man instead of fearing the Lord. They must be men of truth, not of opinions or of falsities, but men of truth. And they must be men who hate covetousness, loving, being satisfied in the Lord alone, who is our bread and our living water. And so all of us ought to strive as well, by the grace of God, to be such people, to be people who fear the Lord and not men, to be people of truth, and to hate covetousness and being satisfied in the Lord alone. That is what we are called. Of course, even to make known God's statutes to one another, to be iron sharpening iron. And all this for His glory. All this for His glory. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your Word that teaches us here about who civil rulers must be. If we are going to support certain civil rulers, they must be these things. They must fear You. They must be men of truth and hate covetousness. And so too, teach Your Word to the people that they ought to follow. And if they don't follow, then we learn that the sword will be brought upon them. And so, Father, we pray that You would raise up such leaders for our nation, such leaders for our city and our state and this nation as a whole. For we do not see any, or we do not see many. We see very few, if any. And so, Father, we pray that You would raise them up, and that they would covenant with Your Christ, with Your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would love Him, that they would come in faith, all these rulers who rule over us now, that they would come in faith in Jesus Christ, Your Son, by whom alone they have salvation, not through their politics and not through their riches, but through Christ alone. And so save them and save people like them. And Father, we do praise you for the promises of the nations coming unto you, as we've sang just now. And we praise you that even through such wicked rulers, just as you, as we'll look at this morning in 2 Chronicles, you even used wicked rulers to bring about your judgments, but also your mercy through Cyrus. We're thankful for this, and we pray that you would bring about mercy to your people and your church today. We know that there seems to be continually a growing hatred, and we already know there's always been a hatred for your people from the world. There's always been a hostility and enmity, even from that promise there in Genesis 3:15. But Father, as it seems like it is growing, a greater hatred for your people, a greater hatred for the gospel, a greater hatred for Jesus Christ and for the church, Father, we pray that you would uphold us, as you would grant us freedom to freedom from that bondage of the world and sin, freedom to worship you according to your word as you have commanded us. And that we would not stray from this, no matter what comes, no matter the suffering that might come, that we would worship you in spirit, according and in our hearts, and from our hearts, and also in truth, according to your word and commandments alone. And so make us to be a faithful body, an expression, a small expression of your church throughout the world. And we ask that your name would be glorified here, and throughout the world, as we pray for the persecuted church and the church who is struggling, the church who is turned from you, we pray that you would bring them to repentance. Where we need to repent, cause us to see our sin, that we would repent and we would humble ourselves, that we would not be prideful in our beliefs, but be boasting alone in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom your grace has come unto us, weak and frail people. And so, Father, we do pray for the church throughout the world, those persecuted, uphold them, strengthen them, just as we pray you would strengthen us for the task ahead of us, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And we would know that all these things will be added unto you, as you promise. All these things, all these worldly things that we need to survive, food, clothing, things like these, they will be given to us by you, Father. As Christ reigns on the throne as our mediator king, we are sure of it, because he will not leave us, you will not leave us or forsake us, but you will uphold us until our time is up, for you have numbered our days, and you will bring us into your glorious kingdom and eternity forever and ever. And we look and hope for that time. But as we consider our bodies, we do pray that you would first strengthen our souls. For in the strengthening of our souls, you do strengthen our bodies. But Father, we do pray that you'll strengthen our bodies too, to serve you, to worship you, to live for you as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto you. Father, we pray today that you would be with Brandon. He's not feeling well, so we pray that you would strengthen him or praise you. We do praise you that you have strengthened Patty this week. She's feeling better and she's here with us. Father, we're thankful for the blessings of children. And we do pray for Melissa, who is soon to be bearing a child. And going through labor, we pray for her and for the family and for that child, that you would bring that child about safely, but above all, you would save that child and send your Holy Spirit and change that child's heart to believe in you and to love you. Father, pray for Kendall and Carla and Oscar and Michelle as they've traveled there. A couple days ago, we pray that you would be with them in their time there, that they would be an encouragement to Melissa and Luke, and that family would be an encouragement to them, and that you would bring them back safely to us at the right time, if it be your will. We pray also for the other children in the womb, and we pray for Marissa and Michelle and Audrey. We ask that you would bring those children about healthy, and that you would cause us as a body of Christ to love them and serve them and help the parents as we will, Lord willing, vow to make to assist them. We pray that you would bring about those children at the right time, and that just as we just prayed, that you would send your Holy Spirit, for that is above all what we long for, that our children would turn unto Christ for their salvation. And we pray for the children who are here, sitting, listening. We pray for their salvation. And you would send your Holy Spirit and change their hearts, regenerate them, and make them alive, that they would not be dead in their trespasses and sins, but make them alive. And only you can do it. We pray that you would give them that, as we heard in Sabbath school, that warrant of faith, the preaching of the gospel today, and they would hear and believe. Those who have gone out from us, call them to yourself. And that word that is in their hearts that they've heard, plague them with it and cause them to know that if they do not turn to Jesus Christ, they will be judged for all eternity with an eternal punishment and an eternal destruction. And cause that to wound their soul so that they can do nothing, if it be your will, that they could do nothing but turn to Christ your Son. And we plead for your mercy upon them, even though they are hardened in their hearts. You can soften them, or you alone can do it. Father, we praise you for Brett and Zach, who are here visiting from Pennsylvania. We praise you for their love for your worship, that they're attending worship when they're away from home. And we pray that you'll bring them and take them back safely. We praise you for the body of Christ that is one, no matter where we are. And we have that unity together with Jesus Christ, your Son. And so we're thankful that we are able today to worship with them and they with us. We do pray and ask for your help with Vanessa, that you would heal her body and keep strengthening her in mind and body and the inner heart as well. We pray for Deanne as well as for Russ, that you would heal their backs and heal their bodies, that they would be able to walk well and work and continue to serve you. And then we do pray for Junior and Johnny, that you would grant to them children, many children, and that you would open the womb, if it be your will. We know that doctors, of course, have their opinions, but truly, at the end of all things, it is you who close the womb, of which we give you praise, and you are the God who opens the womb. And so we plead, if it be your will, that you would shower your grace upon them and open the womb and give them a child. Now, Father, we do ask that you would be with us as we continue worshiping you, that you would watch over us and keep us from sin, and lead us not into temptation, delivering us from evil. And this we know you will do, because you are the God who calls us to pray that way and promises us such. And so, Father, bring it about, that we would hear your word truly and believe what we hear and go forth and teach it to others, that we would exalt in God, even in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.